Good morning, everybody. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, life throws you a curveball where you're planning on doing something and you have it in mind to do it, and you spend, and I'm talking about my message for today, you spend hours getting it ready, and I actually got my notes to Kim Brake early, and God can sometimes throw you a curveball. And he threw me a one that had me buckled in my stance. And my message was all ready to go. And he says, not so fast. And I'm just going to read what happened. I'm going to read a little bit before then so that you may understand. And I hope you prayed for your pastor today, because I think he's going to need it. So, as a pastor, I have a huge responsibility to the well-being of the flock that God has entrusted to me. That responsibility is not just spiritual, but physical as well. As you're all well aware, we are living in different and difficult times. We are being constantly bombarded with information as to how we are to live our lives. I have received many suggestions as to how we should proceed as a church body, considering the safety of all. Should we mandate the use of masks until this thing blows over and enforce it? Should we cancel all services and go back to virtual meetings? Should we just ignore the problem altogether? There are many differing views as to how we should proceed with the increase in COVID cases, and there are plenty of people who do not think that I have handled this situation with much wisdom. I appreciate all of you who have reached out with suggestions and have seriously considered all avenues, but I got to the point where I became overwhelmed as to what I should do as a pastor. I love each and every one of you, but it is impossible to please each and every one of you. God says in his word, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask. So on the night of November 11th, I prayed for guidance. I offered up my simple prayer, a prayer lifted to the Lord by Solomon. Lord, please give me the wisdom to lead your people. God is good. God is good. And sometimes I have to wait a long time to get an answer. It only took a few hours. And if you notice, I prayed on the night of November 11th. On November 12th, I received my answer, just hours after my prayer. Whew. God woke me up at exactly 3 o'clock in the morning. And when that happens, I know that he really wants to talk. I began my typical mode of prayer, praying for protection over all Bible-believing churches, praying for protection over all those whom he would lay on my heart. And suddenly I felt the Lord say, stop. I knew that this was not going to be just another ordinary prayer session, one where I could remain in bed, offer up my prayers of supplication, intercession, and protection, and then go back to sleep. I knew I had to get up for this one, so I did. I stayed up for an hour and a half praying, receiving, writing, praying some more, receiving some more, and praying some more. The following is the answer I received to my previous prayer. Lord, please give me the wisdom to lead your people. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is from God. And he said quite clearly, stop praying for protection and start praying for courage. All that is happening has been allowed by my hand. Just as the Israelites were tested in the wilderness to see if they would obey me, I am now testing those who call themselves by my name. Just as many lived in fear in the wilderness after hearing of giants in the land, so many today live in fear of what may harm them and therefore do not walk in my promises. Did I not say to Joshua, do not be afraid, for I am with you? Am I not the same today as I was yesterday? Have I lost my power? Then why do you act as though I am no longer on the throne? Stop praying for protection and start praying for courage. I cannot use a people who live in fear, for their focus is on their circumstances and not upon me. They scheme ways to protect themselves in situations in which they have no control. They place their confidence in their own understanding. They listen to and obey the counsel of fools, yet refuse to listen to and obey me. I have not given you a spirit of fear. Be sure of this, that is not from me. Stop praying for protection and start praying for courage. I truly believe that is from God to his people. And you know me, I test the things that I receive from God. Because if they do not align with Scripture, then they are not from him. I test other things that other people say according to the Scriptures. And if they don't align with the Scripture, they're not from him. So I am going to break this down and go over certain aspects of this to give a little more clarity and show that it is biblical. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, when I spoke of the prayer of Solomon, it was when Solomon had finished the temple and he was asking God, for wisdom and knowledge and how to lead the people. It says, now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Unless you've ever been a pastor, you don't understand the weight of that call. I never understood it until I became one. I had talked to many pastors, and they had talked about how exhausting it is, how grueling it is to lead people. And I thought, how hard can it be? Seriously. And now I know. I am responsible for the well-being of each and every person in this place. And with that comes a weight. With that comes a weight. So it wasn't my first plan of action. I finally got to the point where I became overwhelmed and I says, God, I need your help. But what an awesome place to be. What an awesome place to be. The first thing he said was stop praying for protection and start praying for courage. And that was repeated 3 times in the word. God will repeat himself when something is very important. He wanted me to hear that I needed to stop praying for protection and start praying for courage. This talking about prayer, I came up with a few different aspects to prayer. Number one, sometimes we don't even bother to pray. We think that we're strong enough to handle it. I got this, God. Don't worry about it. I can handle this. I know you're busy. And sometimes we become a little too reliant upon our own talents. And in fact, we receive those talents from God. But it doesn't mean that we rely on those talents above God. Sometimes we don't bother to pray. James 4, verse 2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations, and the only reason we find ourselves there is because we didn't ask God. We rely on our own understanding. Sometimes we are selfish in our prayers. And I know that none of you have ever had this problem, but I have. In James 4, 3, it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. Sometimes we become ritualistic and rote in our prayers. In Jeremiah 6, verse 20, it says, what do I care about incense from Sheba or sweet calamus from distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Your sacrifices do not please me. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, and I'll get around to why that is important. That's Old Testament. We don't offer up sacrifices anymore. Why are you talking about prayer and sacrifices and the blood of animals? Well, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, it says, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. You see, when we offer up prayers to God in a right motive, in a right fashion, they're like an incense to him. They are gathered, it says, in bowls, held by the angels, and they're offered up to God. What an incredible picture of our prayers. In Revelation 8, verses 3 through 5, it says, another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people and on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Our prayers are being gathered into a bowl, offered up as incense. And then what does it say that happened? The angel gathered them up and threw them back to earth. See, when we offer up our prayers, they go to heaven and they come back as God chooses. You realize that the angels are messengers of God and that he sends them to intervene here on earth. We have a connection with the spirit realm, and that connection is through our prayers. And when we offer up right prayers before God, it is a pleasing incense, and then the angels are allowed to intervene back on earth. So no matter what is going on, when we offer up prayers to God with right motives, with a right broken, contrite heart, they are heard by God, and then he answers. And then he bids his angels to intervene on behalf of those prayers. First John 5, 14 through 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. You see, I've had some people come to me before and say, I'm afraid to pray because I don't want to pray against God's will. We don't always know what God's will is, but it shouldn't keep us from offering those prayers. We still need to offer those prayers up. And then we let God decide if it's his will or it's not. You see, when we offer up prayers, we're not bending his arm behind his back and forcing him to work on our behalf. It doesn't work that way. But we should not be afraid to offer up prayers because we don't want to offend God. Because we think he's too busy. Because he has too much on his plate. If that's your thinking, you don't know him. Then he is not El Shaddai, Almighty God, all-powerful God, above all other gods. You see, we limit God and his ability to work in our lives because we think we know best. The next part of it is that the Israelites were tested in the wilderness to see if they would obey me. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." God gave them commands in the Old Testament. And he put them through difficult times, not so that he could find out what was in their heart, but so they could find out what was in their heart. You want to find out someone's true faith or lack thereof, put them in a difficult situation. You see, it's easy to praise God when everything is going hunky-dory. That's a piece of cake. The problem is when everything is going right and easy, we get fat and happy spiritually. We get lazy spiritually. God says, "I'm going to turn up the fire a little bit. I'm going to turn up the furnace a little bit." And through everything that we are going on, that's going on right now, your true faith is coming to the surface. Whether you realize it or not, it's coming to the surface. So God tests those in the wilderness, and he is testing us today. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. God is not tempting you to sin. God will never do that, ever. But he will test you. He will test you. Many lived in fear in the wilderness after hearing of giants in the land. In Numbers 13, and we just studied this today, Kim Brake went over these things. Numbers 13, 31 through 32, it says, "But the men who had gone up with him and said, 'We cannot attack,' or 'We can't attack those people, they are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size.'" In Numbers 14, verses 9 and 10, "Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land." You see, God had made a promise to them. And he says, now it's time for you to step out and walk in those promises. So they sent out a crew of spies to get a report, to bring it back, to make sure everything's nice and safe, to make sure that God hasn't set a trap for us. And they listened to the report and they said, "We can't do it." So God gets a little irritated. It says, "Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land because we will devour them." This is, I believe it's Caleb talking, or Joshua, one of the two. "Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. Here we have millions of people who listened to the bad report that went in direct contrast to what God had called them to do. And they said, there was two people that says, no, we need to do what God has called us to do. He will deliver us. He will be with us. He made that promise. And most of them said, no, we're not going in there. In fact, let's kill the two people that are on God's side. Let's appoint leaders to take us back into Egypt. He said, we don't want anything to do with this promise that God has for us. We're just not going to walk in it. In Numbers 14, 11, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I have performed among them?'" You see, they took their eyes off of God and they put it on their circumstances and their situations. And when you do that, when we do that, we're in big trouble. We are in big trouble. And God's response in my word was, did I not say to Joshua, do not be afraid, for I am with you? You see, in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says, be strong and be courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And in verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be as discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. In Joshua chapter 1, God repeats that phrase, be strong and courageous, or be strong and very courageous, 4 times. Why? Because he's going to need to hear it. He's going to need to remember it. Because when he starts walking into the promises that God has for him, there is going to be backlash. There is going to be difficulty. The enemy doesn't want us doing what God has called us to do. And just as God gave commands to the people in the Old Testament, Jesus gave commands to the New Testament, new church, us. And are we going to obey them? Or are we going to live in fear? We have a responsibility as the family of God to fulfill what he has called us to do. In the word, he says, am I not the same today as I was yesterday? Have I lost my power? In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He said that in the last book of the Bible. He said that after the culmination of everything, because he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he will be the same forevermore. In Genesis 17, verse 1, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and blamelessly. God Almighty there in the Hebrew is El Shaddai. And it means most powerful. Powerful above all else. Back to the word. It says they scheme ways to protect themselves in situations in which they have no control. Psalm 146, 3 and 4 says, do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground, and on that day their plans come to nothing. Isaiah 31:1 says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. You see, we all have our ideas on how we should handle this thing. Well, we need to stockpile this, and we need to do this, and we need to be this, and we need to, and we need to, and you need to, and you need to, and you need to, and they don't consult El Shaddai. They place their confidence in their own understanding. In Isaiah 55:8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. See, we rely on our own understanding. We rely on our own ability to gather information. And then we decide, as opposed to letting God decide. They listen to and obey the counsel of fools. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, and there is no one who does good. I don't know about you, but I find it interesting that we live in a day and an age where there is a lot of different information. Tons of information. And you can find information that goes along with your personal beliefs. But if you find some information that does not go along with your personal belief, then it's fake news. Instead of looking at all of the information and coming up and deducing your own conclusions, we are easily led around by what we see on television. We are easily influenced by what we see in social media. And it has become a battleground. Not a battleground between believers and unbelievers, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. It has become a battleground that is nothing more than political. And I have brothers and sisters on both sides who the enemy is doing a great job of putting a divide between. You see, you're either a believer or you're not. There's the drawing line. Your political views, we have a saying here at New Hope Christian Center. In the essentials, there must be unity. In salvation issues, we have to believe the same way. In the non-essentials, that is everything else. How you vote, what kind of car you drive, whatever. Those are non-essentials. And in those things, there must be liberty. You have to be able to say to that other person, I disagree with you, but I still love you. And in all things, there must be love. Whether you agree or disagree, there must be love. And when you are on social media, dicing up brothers and sisters who do not agree the same way that you do, what kind of a witness is that to the world? You are actually allowing the enemy to win. You are being used by the enemy to divide the people of God. I don't know about you, but my Bible says, love your neighbor. Guess what? That's everybody. There's no asterisks. Well, love your neighbor unless you don't agree with their lifestyle. Nope, that's not in my Bible. Love your neighbor unless they vote Republican or Democrat. That's not my Bible either. The enemy is winning the battle right now. And he shouldn't be winning. With the world, it's like, yeah, that's what he does. But we have allowed him to infiltrate our faith. And it's wrong. It is absolutely wrong. I told you, this is not going to be an easy one. In the last part of it, it says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. And be sure of this, this is not from me. 2 Timothy 1:7 in the New King James Version, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. If you're living your life in fear of what may happen to you or what may happen to one of your family members, you're not living according to what God has called you to do. If you are allowing fear to keep you from doing those things that God has called us to do, that is not from God. Now, I know some of you are going, well, he's lost it. He's lost his mind. No, be smart. Be smart, but don't be driven by fear. Are your choices driven by wisdom or are they driven by fear? Are your choices in line with what God wants in you? You see, when COVID set in, God did not say, well, let's just shut her down for a while. You don't have to be a believer anymore. Just take care of your business. We'll bring it back up when things get a little bit easier. I'm glad that the early church didn't mail it in when they started persecuting believers. They didn't say, oh, let's hunker down till this blows over. No, they continued to do what God called them to do. And some of them lost their lives. I have gotten to the point where I refuse to watch any news. I just won't do it anymore. I believe, and this is my personal opinion, I believe that mainstream media, I don't care if it's blue, red, yellow, green, whatever. I believe that our journalism today has become a propaganda machine. I believe that they are telling us what they want us to think, how they want us to act. And are we listening to them more than we're listening to what God has called us to do? I thought it was very interesting that early on when they were coming out with the COVID numbers, the cases, hospitalizations, and the deaths. And it's interesting that the deaths are not as pronounced anymore. They're telling us that we have a lot more cases. We do have a lot more cases. Is coronavirus real? It is absolutely real. Is it aggressive and contagious, highly contagious? Yes, it is. I am not doubting that. I am not saying poo-poo to that at all. But I would like to go back to Pastor Henry when he said something that was a little off color for Pastor Henry. He said, there are lies, there are damn lies, and then there are statistics. So I am the kind of person that I want to look up the information for myself. I want to decipher the numbers. The numbers that I'm about to give you are available to everybody. They come from our Spokane County Health District. You can click on it. You can see the numbers. They're updated and everything. I wanted to know big picture. All I'm getting is this small little picture. Hospitals, full capacity. Deaths on the rise. Cases out of control. I want to know the big picture. Before I alter my life and my existence to the point of holding up in my house, I want to know what the numbers say. How many of you have gone on and looked at the numbers? How many of you have actually crunched the numbers? Okay, I'm going to give you the numbers. As of Wednesday, November 11th, which is the day I began my prayer, Lord, help me to lead these people. We have 522,798 people in Spokane County. 500,000. This is the number that I am going off of. We have confirmed cases in Spokane County as of Wednesday, November 11th, 11,265. Okay, that sounds like an awful lot. And it is. So that is 2% of our population. Totally, from the beginning of March until now, 2% of our population has been infected with this virus. Okay? hospitalized. Of the 11,265, 743 have been hospitalized. That is 6.6% of those who test positive end up in the hospital. 6.6%. So if you get tested and you come out positive, there's a 6.6% chance that you may end up hospitalized and on a ventilator. Deaths. We've had 218 as of last Wednesday. It's probably gone up a little bit. That is 0.01% of those people who have tested and died. Not 0.01% of all of our population, 0.01% of those who have tested positive have ended up dying. That is 0.0001. percent of those people who get the virus show no symptoms or have very mild symptoms. 8 out of 10 either don't know they ever had it or they have very mild symptoms. Those are the numbers. Yet if you look at how our mainstream media is portraying this, it sounds like we're all about to die. These are the numbers. These are the facts. You do with them what you will. But to live our lives in fear, driven by a fear of COVID, makes no sense when you look at the numbers. Now, the average person who is dying is 80 years old. Now, don't get me wrong. Every death is tragic. But we have people who die of the flu every year. It's about taking risks. Do you realize that when you got in your car today, you took a risk of dying? When you eat lettuce, you take a risk of dying of Ebola. Everything we do is a risk. You took a risk sitting in that chair, trusting that it was going to hold up. We need to stop listening to what I've heard called panic porn. And don't tell me it's not real. Just get on social media. There is a frenzy. Is COVID real? Absolutely. Have I altered my life because of it? Yes, I have. But as a pastor, I refuse to hole up in my house and wait till the storm blows over. Well, you know what? If you're going to hole up in your house and wait till the storm blows over, you can't help anybody in the storm. You're no good to anybody else. Should we be diligent and careful? Yes. We know who the population is that is compromised. And I'm just going to throw this out. COVID is a respiratory illness, is it not? It attacks the respiratory system. Correct? We can all agree on that? All right. Any asthmatics in the house? Okay. So the rest of you don't know. I have had asthma from birth. So I have had asthma for 56 years, which is amazing because I'm only 49. I have had 11 bouts with pneumonia. My lungs are completely compromised. I do not get oxygen to my lungs like most people do. I am on 2 inhalers every single day. I and probably one of the highest risks of those who are compromised. Yet I refuse to live my life afraid of COVID. I love what I was talking with Erica. Erica, my little German grandma. And if you, any of you have ever been around Erica, she is German. She lived during World War II in the throes of Nazi Germany. She remembers having to hide in her house with all of the lights out because of bombing raids. And Erica told me, if I can live through Hitler, what makes you think that I'm afraid of COVID? And I love that. Is she being smart? Yes, she is. Is she being aware of what's going on around? Yes, she is. I don't visit my mom as much as I used to. My mom just turned 90 yesterday. But you know what? We took my grandson over there because I don't know how many times I have left for her to spend time with her grandson. My wife's father died in a nursing home and couldn't see anyone for 5 months. He died. Belinda had a trip set up and everything. It got shut down. He died alone. Why? Shouldn't we have the right to say, you know what? I accept the risk, but I'm willing to take it because I want to see my dad before he dies? We have a right to do that. That right has been taken from you. It has been taken from us. What I'm saying is be smart. Be aware. But don't let fear drive your life. Because it ain't from God. All right, in light of that, we are going to change some things around here. Last Wednesday, I borrowed the sterilization fogger from my office. I strapped on my respirator and sterilized this entire building. Fogged it all. So we're taking measures to make sure that we are safer. Here's the thing. You can do whatever you want, as much as you want, and you can still get it. If you're gambling and you're putting all your money in on wearing a mask that's going to keep you safe, you got another thing coming. Are they effective? Yes, they are. Are they foolproof? No, they're not. And if you're putting your faith in things to protect you and not God, you're out of whack. You're out of whack. So our life groups are going to meet this week, and then we're going to shut them down until January after that. The youth are going to meet this week, and then they're going to go to Zoom meetings following that until January, which is when we start the new year. And dear God, I hope 2021 is way better than 20. The D10 is going to continue at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings because I believe that it is crucial that we raise up leaders that can take on people in their homes when, not if, but when people are no longer able to gather together to worship. And that's what the trend's looking like. So we want to make sure that we are raising up leaders that have a substantial foundation on which that they can lead other people in their homes. Because I believe we are coming to a point where it will be illegal to meet like we are now. It's just my own personal opinion. As far as Sunday services, they will continue. I don't know if you've noticed, but we have been circulating the air in here every 10 minutes. George is on that. He'll circulate the air to get the air moving. And I believe that is one of the most effective things that you can do. And I read an article on a workout club where one of their members was actually a air scientist or whatever. She studied how air works and carries germs and everything. So she got together. She wanted to continue working out, so she got together with the owner of the club, and they redid their stations, because I don't know if you've ever noticed, when you work out, you're breathing really, really hard. You are expelling water droplets into the atmosphere. And so they put in garage doors, and so this is in Florida, so they could do that, but they open up all the garage doors, and they have the air circulating through there. One of the trainers came down with COVID, had direct contact with 85 other people. Those 85 did not get it. So it was isolated to just him, and he had worked out. They still do all the cleaning stuff. They do all the sterilization stuff, but they increase the circulation in the building, and they believe that that is actually what helped. So we've been turning that on, circulating, getting some fresh air in here. And so we are taking steps. The women's Christmas event is still going to go on. However, it may be all virtual. We don't know yet. I'll leave that up to the ladies. But we have scaled it down this year so that we don't have a ton of people in one space all crowded together for an extended period of time. I just don't think that's wise. So there you go. I pray that the next time God wakes you up at 3:00 in the morning. But that's what I have. And I pray for each and every one of you. I am concerned for the wealth of our family here at New Hope. But I am also concerned about your spiritual health. I have been called to be a pastor. I have been called to preach the word of God. I have been called to gather together so that we can encourage one another on. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. And I will continue to operate in that call. There is a mask mandate for all of Washington, and now Idaho has gone back to stage 2. And I understand it. But I also understand that we have a right to gather together as a body. We have people that wear masks. We have people that do not wear masks. I have not been called to be a mask enforcer. And I will not. But what I am asking you is this. I think social distancing is important. Like I said, I don't go see my mom nearly as much. I think it is important to respect what other people believe and treat them with kindness and respect. But ultimately, we are called. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. You can't do that. Hold up in your house. You can't do that when you're afraid and driven by fear. You won't. And are you being driven by fear? Or are you being driven by the Creator? And that's for each and every one of you to decide. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We all have responsibilities. We all should be smart. But we have no right to enforce our views on someone else. We're adults. We are God's family. We are His children. I love what Larry said last week. You're forgiven. Act like it. We're His children. Act like it. Amen? Please stand. As I was sharing earlier, I had 11 bouts with pneumonia, hospitalized 3 times because of it. If any of you don't know what it's like to have asthma, I came up with the most perfect thing to do or description of what it's like to live with restricted airways. You know those stir straws that you get at Starbucks, not the bigger ones, but the smaller ones. They got a little tiny hole in them. Tape your nose shut. Put that in your mouth and go run a half a mile and see how easy it is to breathe. That's exactly what it's like. And you know, there's a story in the Old Testament that I love. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar made this giant idol. Big, huge bunny, VeggieTales. And he says, everyone has to bow down to the bunny. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to do it. And then they brought the bunny out again, or they had the bunny there, and then the next day came, and everyone, when they heard the music start playing, they had to bow down to the bunny. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to do it. It was the law. But they refused to do it. And they went to Nebuchadnezzar and said, hey, you know, these three guys, they don't follow your law. And he got mad. And he says, well, I'll give him an ultimatum. So he went to them and he says, you're going to bow down to this bunny. And they says, no, we're not going to do it. And he says, then I will have you thrown into the fire, into the furnace. And he had the furnace pumped up 7 times hotter than normal. And he said, I'm going to throw you in here. And one of them said, you know what? We serve an almighty God. He is above your gods. And my God is able to deliver me in the fire. He is able to deliver my friends in the fire. And then I love what they said. And even if he chooses not to save us from the fire, I am not going to bow down to your gods. You see, I believe we are going into a time when it's going to get more and more difficult to be a believer of Jesus Christ. I believe we are going to see persecution. I truly do. If you are living in total fear because of COVID, what are you going to do when they say, you can't believe in your God anymore? You have to denounce your faith. My hope is that if or when I'm faced with that, I will stand as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We all have a responsibility. We have people who are compromised. But ultimately, it is up to each and every one of us to make the decision on how you're going to handle these days. See, I work for a orthopedic company, which means I go into hospitals. I go into hospitals every day. And they all have their own different protocols. And I abide by those protocols because it's my job. I am getting paid to do that. When I go into a store, I do wear a mask, usually. There are certain stores that have put up signs that say, please help us stay open. Please wear a mask. And then I do. But this is a place of worship. Nobody is forced to come here. There, I have no paid staff that I am saying, I don't care what you believe, you're going to come and you're going to be a part of it. That we don't have that here. This is not a place of business. This is a place of worship. And it is a voluntary place of worship. You have all chosen to come here on your own accord. And you can all choose not to come on your own accord, and that's up to you. But I leave the choice to each and every one of you how you're going to walk that out. I refuse to turn people away for not wearing a mask. Because what does that show to the world? I look at it as I'm compromised, but I'm still going to do what God's called me to do. I am still going to do what he's called me to do. I know I've hugged people in the past and they've said, don't hug me, I'm sick. And I always respond, you know what? Jesus hugged lepers. I'm not afraid of a cold. And sometimes that's all people need is a hug. You ain't getting a hug on the other side of a monitor. You're not getting a hug. Oh, you'll get the emoji hug. But it's not the same. If Jesus had wanted his disciples to follow out his orders based on our technology of today, he would have handed all of his disciples an iPad. And you're like, oh, they didn't have that back then. He's the Son of God. He could have done it if he wanted to. So there. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. I thank you for this word. I know it has not been easy. But Lord, the day that in which we live is not easy. But Lord, you have called us to be a people to shine like lights in a darkness. And I don't know about you, but it's pretty dark out there. Lord, help us to be the light in the darkness. Help us to represent your love to others. That when things get difficult, people are going to come to us because we're different. They're going to say, how can you smile? How can you be so pleasant when the world around you is crumbling? And my response is, I have a book that talks about this very same thing. But I have been called to be different. Lord, help us to walk in the faith that we have. Help us to act in love towards other people, even when we don't agree with them. More importantly, Lord, I pray for courage. I pray for courage for us to do that. To fear you more than we fear men. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Give us that strength. You have given us your Spirit. And Lord, with you, all things are possible. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. And I want to make one more clarification. When God was saying stop praying for protection and start praying for courage, I believe that was a message for that night for me. Stop praying for protection, because that's what I've been doing. I've been praying, Lord, give us a cocoon around New Hope so that we don't have any COVID. Be around my grandson. Be around my family. Be around, just protect, 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 protect. And God's like, stop praying for protection only and start praying for courage. You see, we pray our prayers of, Lord, keep us safe. Keep us from harm. Keep us from those things that are so hard. No, start praying for courage to handle it like we're supposed to handle it. You see, God doesn't say, I'm going to keep you out of the fire. He didn't keep Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire. He was with them in the fire and delivered them through the fire. He didn't squelch the fire before they got in there. And it was like, ooh, thank you, Lord. I didn't want to go in there. No, he met them right in the midst of the fire. Amen? You're going to have fire. Stop praying that you don't have fire. And start praying, God, I know you're with me. I don't like this. This scares the crud out of me. But I'm going to trust you in it anyway. Amen? You're dismissed.